If asking your mate down the pub about vaping, here's what they'd probably say. No one agrees if it's safer or not, so you might as well smoke anyway. Now what your mate needs is a Cochrane review. All the facts have been checked at least twice. They'd find there's a lot that the experts agree on and might give you different advice.
Hi, my name is Nicola and I'm a researcher based at the University of Oxford in the UK.
And I'm Jamie and I'm a researcher based at the University of Massachusetts Amherst in the United States.
We are both members of the Cochrane Tobacco Addiction Group. Welcome to this edition of Let's Talk E-Cigarettes. This podcast is a companion to a research project being carried out at the University of Oxford, where every month we research the e-cigarette research literature to find new studies. We then use these studies to update our Cochrane systematic reviews of e-cigarettes for smoking cessation and interventions for quitting vaping. This type of review is called a living systematic review, and in each episode we start by going through the studies we found that month and then go into more detail about a particular study or topic related to e-cigarettes.
So this month we ran our searches on the 1st of July 2026. We found one new ongoing study and two papers linked to studies already in our review for our e-cigarettes for smoking cessation review. For our interventions for quitting vaping review, we found one new completed study and two new ongoing studies. We'll tell you more about these in a nutshell. So the new ongoing study for the e-cigarettes for smoking cessation review was found in a trial registry, and it's titled Methadone Maintained Smokers Switching to E-Cigarettes. It's actually complete, but results are not yet available. The study recruited 183 people who smoked and were receiving methadone maintenance therapy. Participants were randomized either to a group who received 6 weeks of e-cigarettes or a group who received 6 weeks of nicotine lozenges. The study was only 6 weeks long, but it should have data on some health markers that we can include in our review. The study is funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse in the U.S., and it appears to have been run by researchers at Butler Hospital, also in the U.S.
The new completed study we found this month is eligible for our Interventions for Quitting Vaping review and is a randomized controlled trial which investigates the use of nicotine pouches for quitting vaping alongside the effects of changing to different e-cigarette flavors. The study was led by Dr. Maciej Goniewicz at the Roswell Parkinson Institute. The study included 163 participants who were using e-cigarettes at the start of the study. Two of the study groups were asked to continue using e-cigarettes, whereas a third group were asked to switch to using nicotine pouches. Some of the results are currently available in the trial registry, and there appears to be no evidence of increased adverse events in any of the study groups. The study was funded by the National Institutes of Health and the National Cancer Institute. The first ongoing quitting vaping study aims to examine if e-cigarette education messages delivered using a source and presentation tailored to a young and adult's vaping status influences their vaping behaviours when compared to control messages on sun safety. It's been carried out at the University of Hawaii and is funded by the National Cancer Institute. They plan to recruit 120 participants and they will measure vaping status at 6 months. And then finally, the second new ongoing study of vaping cessation is titled An Online Intervention to Reduce E-Cigarette Use and Cigarette Smoking Risk in Adolescents, and is being led by Denise Tran at the University of Southern California in the US. The goal is to learn if a brief digital intervention can reduce e-cigarette use and prevent cigarette smoking initiation in teenagers aged 12 to 17. They are aiming to recruit 150 young people with completion targeted for spring 2027. The funder isn't clear from the NCT record. They're looking at a range of measures relating to smoking and vaping at up to 3 months.
Thanks, Nicola. So this month, in fact, I got back last night as we're recording. I was at the U.S. National Institutes of Health Tobacco Regulatory Science meeting in Bethesda, Maryland. So for this episode's deep dive, we're going to hear from one of the presenters at the conference. Stephanie Gratale, PhD, MBA, is an assistant professor in the Department of Health Behavior, Society, and Policy at the Rutgers School of Public Health, and she's also core faculty at the Rutgers Institute for Nicotine and Tobacco Studies. At the conference, she presented results of an NIH-funded qualitative study she's done looking at risk perceptions. The title of her talk was, in quotes, "It's not as good for you versus stuff that's coming out of the ground," end quote. And this was an analysis of focus groups with youth and young adults, exploring comparative risk perceptions and interest in what has been marketed as cleaner combustible products versus e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches. I'll let Dr. Gertali tell you more about this work now. We're in a hotel lobby, so apologies for the background noise.
Okay, so to start off, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what got you into this area of research?
Sure. So my name is Stephanie Gertali, and I'm an assistant professor at the Rutgers School of Public Health and at the Rutgers Institute for Nicotine and Tobacco Studies. And I kind of got into this area of research during my PhD program. So I was a research fellow at a center at UPenn called the UPenn Tobacco Center of Regulatory Science. It's funded by FDA and NIH. And one of their focus areas was looking at tobacco marketing that has, you know, cues or implications that can suggest lower risk. So we focus a lot on natural tobacco marketing and the American Spirit brand. And so that's what first got me into tobacco research. That's what I focused on for my dissertation. And it's what led me to Rutgers ultimately.
Awesome. And can you tell me a little bit like what is meant by natural tobacco marketing?
Yeah, so it's literally marketing with the word natural in it. So for some brands, it's just the word natural. For other brands, it has really evolved a lot. So you see creative use of terms like organic and tobacco and water or simple. And typically, it's referring to how the tobacco is grown. So you're thinking about tobacco that is organically grown or has fewer pesticides or additives. And it can convey this implication that it's a, you know, simpler, cleaner product, much in the same way that people might prefer organic fruits and vegetables. But the difference is, especially when you're talking about combusted tobacco products like cigarettes, the underlying product itself is deadly. And the combustion releases, you know, thousands of chemicals that you then inhale when you're smoking them. And so whether or not the tobacco was organically grown isn't really the point, but the marketing kind of suggests otherwise.
Okay, so I find this so interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about your recent study? Like, who did you talk to? What did you set out to look at? And I'm particularly interested in the stuff about comparative risks between like natural tobacco and unnatural things like e-cigarettes.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So this study really is intended to look at the evolving use of terms that signify naturalness, even without using that word in marketing for cigarettes and cigarillos, and how they resonate with young people. So the focus group part of the study was basically what we did. We got a bunch of youth and young adults together for online focus groups, and we talked with them. We asked them about their general perceptions of cigarettes and cigarillos. We asked them, you know, about their experiences with them and, you know, kind of how they resonate in terms of use with young people. And then we asked them about particular terms in the marketing. We showed them marketing examples and we said, what does this mean to you? Just to kind of see what they were getting. So first we kind of let them share their own opinions, what stuck out to them, and then we tried to delve a little bit deeper and say, like, what does this word mean to you? What does this signify in terms of harm perceptions? And one of the things that we really wanted to do was just get a sense of, like, are they still thinking these terms mean less harm? Does it mean the same thing to them as natural? And by and large, we found that, yes, it does mean the same thing to them, because we're showing them things that said organic or that said tobacco and water or simple, and then they were giving us the word natural. So we're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it is what you'd expect, because, you know, tobacco companies are kind of purposely putting in those words in the ads. But we did find that they think that that does mean a cleaner product, a product with less additives in it, a product that they felt that they knew, okay, we know what's actually in that. It's just tobacco and water. It's coming from a plant. It's coming out of the ground. And they were juxtaposing that with things that they felt were more artificial, unnatural, chemical laden, like e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches when we asked them about those products.
So would it be fair to say that at least some of them felt that the natural tobacco products would maybe pose less of a risk to them than nicotine
cigarettes?
Yes,
it would be absolutely fair, because we did explicitly ask that question.
Yeah.
So we asked them to kind of compare, do you think that a cigarette or a cigarillo that has the label of organic or that, you know, is marketed as being made with the ingredients, tobacco and water, do you think that would be, you know, safer, about the same or less safe than a nicotine pouch? We asked them a similar question about addictiveness. Then we asked them harm perceptions relative to e-cigarettes. And the majority thought that they would be healthier than e-cigarettes or less harmful than e-cigarettes and about the same healthy or healthier than nicotine pouches. And so that's obviously a concerning result.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of, you know, misperceptions and from the standpoint of thinking about how communication may have played a role in that. Because one of the things that they did talk about in the focus groups was, you know, they mentioned there are all these other things in e-cigarettes and pouches. And, you know, it's probably not as good for you versus something that's just growing, right? Like tobacco coming from a plant. And it really just resonated with me and made me think of these very successful e-cigarette messaging campaigns that were so necessary, especially during like the vaping epidemic yeah. among young people. They're so needed and they're so accurate, but they also really focused on, some of them focused, you know, a lot on these harmful constituents in the products. And they had really great graphics, even sometimes personifying them as like monsters. Like I remember these campaigns and they were very effective, but I think it opened the door a little bit for, you know, tobacco companies to juxtapose that with, oh, these products are a little bit more natural. There's nothing else in them. And they're often marketed with beautiful imagery. You'll see in the advertisements, you'll see, you know, landscapes, you'll see tobacco fields, you'll see close-ups of leaves, you'll see running water, like just very beautiful, vibrant yeah. colors, really evocative of nature. And even sometimes you see it on the cigarette packs. And so it just, it's this area where there seem to be misperceptions that because a product could be more quote unquote natural, that might mean that it's less harmful, but that's not what the science supports.
Of course. And that, like, it also just makes me think of other areas that aren't tobacco, right? Like concerns right. about vaccine additives yes. or things like that, where like in some ways chemicals have gotten mm-hmm. a uniformly bad name and we've right. forgotten that things that can grow naturally can kill us. Yeah.
yes. Yes, yeah. exactly. And that like, the word chemical is, you know, it's not a four-letter word.
No,
it's not something
no.
that uniformly means bad. And like, yes, maybe if you're eating a peach, it's better to eat that peach without a pesticide
totally.
On it that you're going to ingest yeah. and can hurt you. But it doesn't mean that anything that has chemicals is bad, like in your vaccine example.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, it also doesn't mean that something like a quote-unquote natural or organic cigarette is healthier than an e-cigarette or a nicotine pouch because those have added chemicals. And the thing is that I think could be important for future messaging is that the vast majority of the harm and the chemicals that you're exposed to when smoking, they're not coming from additives to the tobacco. They're not coming from pesticides. They're released when the tobacco is burned and then you are ingesting that. So whether or not it's organically grown isn't going to stop you from being exposed to those chemicals. And a cigarette still, you know, the science basically implies that the cigarettes still expose you to more chemicals, more carcinogens, and more toxins than e-cigarettes. So it's really a false comparison. And certainly when you see people comparing an organic cigarette to an e-cigarette and they're saying, oh, well, those might be about the same, even if a regular e-cigarette is better than a cigarette, it's a false equivalency because you're still going to get more exposure to bad things
totally.
From a cigarette. And I think what was a little bit surprising to me about our research was that comparison to e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches, because there have been a number of studies, including ones that I've been a part of, where, you know, we've seen that people think that organic cigarettes are healthier than regular cigarettes, which again, the science doesn't
yeah.
support. But the fact that that was kind of taken to the next level with this, with our finding that that was being extended to e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches, which have like no combustion or heating or anything
yeah.
involved, that was really startling because
yeah.
that's not that where the typical comparison has been. It's been like cigarette with organic tobacco versus normal cigarette.
Yes.
And that logical jump you really understand, but I was disheartened to
yeah.
see that extend to
it's
e-cigarettes
scary.
And nicotine pouches.
It's really scary.
Not that we want particularly young people to be using e-cigarettes
no.
and nicotine pouches either, but there is a spectrum of harm, and I think, you know, false equivalencies are harmful.
And like people have a right to understand information and not have that distorted by tobacco industry marketing, right?
Like, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So what do you think should be done next? Either research, practice, both?
I absolutely think both. And I think, you know, we've seen in the past amazing communication campaigns from, you know, nonprofit groups, from, you know, research organizations. So we've seen things coming out of, you know, the Truth Initiative. We've seen the Real Cost campaign and, you know, other efforts that came out of like FDA and their research. So communication absolutely plays a vital role, particularly in protecting young people, I think. So I absolutely see a role for that.
Yeah.
But I do think we really need to do more research to find, to kind of try and disentangle the nuances of what is the most effective means of communication, because there's just so many considerations. I think there's really lately been a bit of a change in culture around cigarettes in general. And it's not like we're seeing this tidal wave of young people all of a sudden smoking. We're not. That's not happening. You know, I don't want to sound like an alarmist here, but what we are seeing, we're seeing changes in cultural representations of smoking, right?
Yeah.
Like I watched Stranger Things and The Bear, and you see them come up a lot. You see people on magazine covers and celebrities on Instagram, right? And it's just this positive depiction of smoking that, you know, has always been present to some degree, but feels like it's happening more lately. Like it's a bit of a trendy thing at the moment.
I think it is. I read an article that like more and more influencers are smoking instead of vaping.
There's like, they're called like Sigfluencers. And Instagram, they're popular accounts. So you have that happening. And then you also have, you know, a lot of public health attention to e-cigarettes, especially flavored e-cigs, because they are so popular historically with young people. So you have states that restricted access to them or banned sales of flavored e-cigarettes. And not that that is a bad thing. There's a role for regulation. But when you have that in combination, you know, with the change in culture around smoking and with the totality of messaging around e-cigarettes that I think has led people to think like, yeah, these are unnatural. These are, you know, bad for you. That can sort of open the door for like, oh, I don't know, maybe smoking isn't the big bad that it once was. And because a lot of young people today didn't grow up with anti-smoking, they grew up with anti-e-cig campaigns. So I just think that we're at a moment where it's a really complex tobacco market. There's so many products available.
Absolutely.
There are some that are, you know, authorized or some that are illicit for sale, but I think it requires really nuanced communication, and you need to do more research to figure out the right approach. Like, I wish I had a magic bullet answer that I could share, but I don't know. One thing that I think is interesting is maybe if there's messaging that focuses on where the source of harm comes from in different products, maybe that could resonate with people.
Yeah.
So I personally want to do more research in this area. You know, next steps for my research are going to be, you know, trying to look at corrective messaging. Yeah. But before that, I have a few, you know, experiments and other things planned, because this research that we've been talking about was from a training grant from the from the FDA. So,
oh, well, thank you so much. That was so interesting.
That was great, Jamie. There was definitely a lot of hustle and bustle going on where you are, which I hope kind of reflected the excitement of the meeting. I really felt like Stephanie's points on incorrect harm perceptions and smoking becoming fashionable again really resonated with me, as it's something I think I've really been noticing, especially on social media, and have been discussing more with colleagues more recently. One of the things I've been thinking is it really makes the issues around regulation so much trickier, because if there is consideration of banning certain types of vapes or characteristics of vapes, such as disposable vapes or flavoured vapes, it feels like the risk of people who have already started vaping then actually switching to cigarettes is getting worse. And of course, I'm not saying that we shouldn't regulate at all, especially with regards to young people, but the potential risks or unintended harms of any policies or regulations do really need to be thought through, I think, and we need to try and think of ways to mitigate those risks.
I think you're absolutely right, Nicola. It was fascinating sitting and listening to Stephanie's talk. just because it resonated with so many kind of anecdotal things I've been hearing and seeing around me. A young person that I know, I don't know well, but we were chatting the other day, he's in his late teens, was saying that he really didn't trust e-cigarettes. He's a regular smoker. He smoked for a while because of all the chemicals. And he was saying that, you know, he'd looked into it and he really thought like what would be healthier for him was tobacco and water. He was like, I've looked into it. I don't want all the chemicals in e-cigarettes. I just need tobacco and water. And Stephanie was talking a lot about how the tobacco industry is using that particular phrasing of tobacco and water because they've not been allowed to use the word natural. And I thought, oh my gosh, like this is something that I'm seeing even in my corner of Western Massachusetts. And I really hope it doesn't spread. And I think it means that we have to have even more nuanced, complex conversations, discussions, and communication around risk and harms. And also that it doesn't exist in a bubble, right? It's not just like the tobacco and nicotine space where people are really worried about chemicals. They're really worried about them in vaccines and medicines. And one of the things that I thought was interesting that Stephanie spoke about in terms of moving forward was a need to really focus on that messaging around combustion, right? Like what happens when you burn tobacco and the fact that these alternative products don't involve burning. So I hope that we see more research and more messaging about that so that people have the right information available to them.
So it's amazing how that messaging does influence people, because we all know there are completely natural substances that are really harmful, like
that are terrible for you. Exactly. You
know, in general, people would be very careful if they're going out picking mushrooms, for example, or I hope they would do. Because we know that certain mushrooms are incredibly toxic, despite, you know, just growing with no intervention whatsoever. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that is it from us this month. We're going to take next month off in celebration of the fact that it is the summer. We hope you're all enjoying your summers as well, if indeed you're in the bit of the hemisphere where it is your summer. And we will check in with you again in September. Thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you to Jonathan Livingston Banks for running searches, to Elsa Butler for producing this podcast, and of course to all of you for tuning in. The music is written by Johnny Berliner and I and performed by Johnny. Our Living Systematic Reviews are supported by funding from Cancer Research UK. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Nicola and I and do not represent those of the funders.
Friend, switching to vaping is safer than smoking. May help you quit in the end. But remember to mention the findings we have. Can't tell us what'll happen long term. Even though we know vaping is safer than smoking, we may still find cause for concern. If you're thinking of switching to vaping, do it! That's what the experts agree. Smoking's so bad for you, they all concur. The vaping beast burning, there's much to learn. Of the facts long term yet to be.